So yes, we were here at Galatians 3:14. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. We might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We live on the promises of God. Without faith, yes, it is impossible to please God. And that faith is a contrast to the law and works. But Paul wants them to understand something, that faith is not something empty. We know that the word faith is used all the time and misappropriated. It's used, well, as long as you have faith, you're all right. Or as long as you believe. And of course, we know that Disney has used that phrase over and over again, just believe, just believe. But it doesn't tell you what to believe in. It's ridiculous to say, I believe in something, and you don't know what it is. There has to be a clear foundation of what we stand on. And if we are without the promise, faith is useless. And the contrast between faith and the law that we see in the Old Testament, we discover, well, where does the law fit in then? And Paul is writing, he's saying, okay, these guys that are coming and saying, no, the law, you need the law, you need the law. He wants them to understand that what came before the law, and what came before the law was the promise. And we see that blessing of Abraham coming upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so then he begins to speak about a covenant that was made. Brothers, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. When there's a covenant made by men, it's supposed to be held up, right? Even the law tries to hold up a covenant between two people that's established. But the covenant that was made by God is a different covenant. A covenant made by God is where he establishes a covenant. And for Abraham, it wasn't that, you know, Abraham said, you know, well, if I do this and I'll do all this and I'll do all this and I'll do that. The covenant was God making a promise that through him, all the nations of the world would be blessed. That was the covenant. That was the promise that he made. So Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He doesn't say into seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed. And now we discover that seed is Christ. It's singular. And so the promise was made that through the seed, Christ, all the nations would be blessed. This is where the promise comes. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, the law that comes along all way after Abraham, this law that comes could not annul the covenant that was confirmed by God in Christ. It was confirmed by God in Christ. And so the law that comes later doesn't annul the promise. This is God giving the law was part of his way of fulfilling the promise. It was bringing people to the place of conviction and convincing that they were sinners. It was part of God's plan that was being fulfilled in the covenant that he made with Abraham, that through his seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And so the Jews had come to the place where the law was everything. They took the promise of Abraham, but it was not as important as the law was. The law was everything to them. And so they thought that somehow they would establish their righteousness by the keeping of the law, when the purpose of the law was for what? What's the purpose of the law? It's to make every person guilty in the sight of Almighty God. Romans chapter 3 tells us that very clearly. And so even though the law came in 430 years later, it wasn't to annul the promises of God. There is nothing, and here's the beautiful thing, there is nothing that can annul the promises of Almighty God. Amen? Nothing can annul it. Nothing can stop the promises of God from being fulfilled. And that should give us a great confidence. We have that great confidence because we can go all the way back to the time of Abraham. We can go all through the Old Testament and see the promises of God and see them being fulfilled. And then we have all of the New Testament and all the promises that are ours that are in Christ Jesus, so that we can say nothing can annul the promises of Almighty God. When he says, well, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And he makes it very clear that nothing can. When he shows us that he establishes a covenant, and that covenant is from his side. And when we come to the New Testament, we see Jesus bringing in a new covenant, but it is a covenant that is still under the covenant of Abraham. The covenant of the law was made to the Israelites, not to the Gentiles. It was temporary in its nature, and it was given to show the sin of the people so that they would be prepared to accept the covenant of grace through Jesus Christ. Its purpose of the law. The Bible tells us a little later in Galatians, it was like a school teacher to bring us to Jesus. That was its purpose. And so it is the time of the law was underneath the covenant of Abraham. And even the new covenant that we have through Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the covenant of Abraham. Not even the annulment of it, because we are the children of Abraham through that seed, that promise, is Jesus Christ. And so the very promise that was given to Abraham was the promise of the new covenant that would come through Jesus Christ being crucified for our sins. It's incredible when we look at it and we think about what God has done. It cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. The law cannot make the promise of Abraham of no effect. It is still standing, and it will stand right through, because that promise was none other than Jesus Christ himself. Amen? That's the promise that he gives us. Because if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. It's not the law. It's promise. And isn't that a relief? Yes. If you are under the law, friends, you know that you cannot be saved by it. Yes. You know that what the law will do is make you guilty in the sight of God. And just as it was cursed that everyone would hang on a tree, so cursed is everyone does not do all the things that are written in this book to do them. And so the law didn't have a promise with it. The law had death attached to it. Not because the law was bad, but because here's the purpose of the law. It was added because of transgressions, until the seed, again singular, should come, to whom the promise was made. It was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. And who was the mediator that gave the law? Moses. Well, there's difference of opinion on that one. Sometimes when you look at Galatians 3:20, it says a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. A lot of people have had different discussions about that particular verse. But the mediator, I believe it was Moses. And Moses was the mediator between a covenant, or the covenant of the law. But the covenant of the law was based on God saying, this is what you need to do, and the people saying, we agree that this is what we will do. They sprinkled the blood, and they all said, we will keep it. We will do it. And so you have a mediator between this group and this group. But when it comes to here, a mediator does not mediate for one only. That's two, right? But God is one. And when it comes to the covenant of with Abraham, it wasn't a covenant that required a mediator, because it was all on God's side. It was all his stating. It was his sovereignty speaking and saying, this is it. I am giving you, Abraham, I am promising you that through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I am promising you that the seed will come. And so he makes that promise. And it was on God's side alone. Whereas on the other one, you have a mediator between the people and God, Moses, working out the deal, so to speak. There's no deal here when it came to Abraham. It was God sovereignly calling him, promising him, saying, I'm going to accomplish this. God's one. It was all on his side. It wasn't two. It was all on God's side. And that's wonderful, because my hope then is not built on what I am going to do for God. You know, it's like a lot of people think that coming to Christ is, you know, okay, I'm going to come to God and I'm going to do all of this for you. And that's going to earn me brownie points. That's going to make me important with you, Lord. It's not that at all. It is the promises of God being given to us simply receiving those promises. And as a result of that, life comes. We live on the promises of Almighty God. That's where faith comes. Because faith, if faith is not on God and his promises, then I have to say some of my faith is on my ability to fulfill them. And I'm cooked right there. I have not a hope in the world there. There's no hope apart from it. And that's why Paul was so adamant. That's why he was so almost like, listen, if anybody brings another gospel, he said, let them be damned. If I kill you another gospel, let them be damned. Because as soon as you take away from the fullness of the promises of God that are all found in Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen for us, we have no gospel left. There's never can be Christ plus something else. One small sliver of the works of men to step into the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there's no gospel left. Can't be. It all has to be based on God's promises. That doesn't mean, of course, that it gives us the ticket or license to sin. We know that because it is the mercy of God. It is those promises. It is God saying that I called you and I'm going to justify you and I'm going to glorify you. It's God from the start and it's God to the finish. He who has begun a good work will do what? He'll bring it to completion. Amen? That's amazing. Praise his name. So that our hope is not based on what we are going to do for God, but it's based on what he does for us and through us. And he does it well. And listen, if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, there are times, of course, that we go astray. And there are times when he's going to drag us kicking and screaming sometimes back to himself. There's times when he's going to confront us on the road home. And when we think, you know, we got everything figured out or whatever, and suddenly, bang, we're hit. God just takes us and he kind of gives us a little tap on the side of the head. And what can you do about it? What can you do about it? He calls us and he justifies us and he glorifies us because that's what he does. So it's all on one side, because if it was on my side, it's not going to work. And sadly, sometimes people think that getting saved is telling God how good they're going to be for him from now on. And they find out, I'm not good at all. And the harder we try, the more we fail. And then we finally realize, all my goodness is you, Christ. All my hope is you. Lord, you put me to death, and it's your life now because I have no life of my own. This is where the promises take us. They take us to abandon every other hope. They abandon all that we think we're going to do for God and bring us to the place where, Lord, I must live by faith. But it's faith in the promises. It's faith in God and what he has accomplished and not in what we do. Well, is the law against the promises of God? Certainly not. That economy of the law was brought in under the very promises of God. The law was brought in order so we could see those promises and understand what they were. For if there had been a law which would have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. If it could have produced righteousness in anybody, yeah, well, let's stick with the old law then, because, you know, somebody can make it by it, but nobody has. Nobody ever could. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We are the sons of God through faith. You become a child of God through faith. And listen, this is where you find confidence. You cannot find confidence. And that is why we have people thinking, oh, you can lose your salvation. They're thinking you can lose your salvation because it's up to you. But if it's not up to you, but up to God, and his promises stand sure, you cannot lose salvation. You can't. Can you slip and slide? Oh, yeah. You sure can. You know, Jesus said we'd be in the palm of his hand and in the palm of the Father's hand. You can do a lot of flopping around inside of there sometimes. And it's like one hymn writer said, I know there have been times I've been out of his will, but I've never been out of his care. That's the faithfulness of Almighty God. Now, we know that there are false professors. There are people who profess to be saved. And sometimes it's because a false gospel's been preached. Sometimes it's because they've been told that this is, if you want to follow God, then this is what you need to do. And they Christianize it up, you know, and they don't go back just to the old Ten Commandments. But if you do all these things, you're going to be all right with God. And if you don't do them, well, you can be lost all over again. But that's not true. It is the power and the mercy and the grace of Almighty God that brings us here, because this is what makes us a son of God. It is faith in Jesus Christ, who is the promise. Everything is found in Jesus Christ. He's the very promise. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, I believe this is a spiritual baptism. Of course, it's reflected. Water baptism is a great picture of the spiritual baptism that happens when we are baptized into Christ. And in Christ, there is neither Jew, there is no Greek, there is neither slave, there's no free, nor male, nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. This is where the promise comes. It goes back to the very promise of Abraham. And that promise stands sure. It stands sure because it was said, in you all the nations of the world will be blessed. And what that really means, the word nations really means all the people groups of the world. Everyone. And there's no distinction here in terms of who you are in Jesus Christ. Because it's based on the promise, and it's not based upon who you are in terms of whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Greek. It's not based on whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It's not based on whether you're slave or free. It's not based on male or female. It's based on the promises of Almighty God. And that means everybody comes equal footing into the presence of God. Really, indeed, everyone comes just as lost as the next person, right? And so there's no partiality. There's no, oh, this person has more, so this person gets more. And all of that kind of thinking was present in the culture.
You still think that sometimes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, he's got an in with God, but you don't have as much of an in with God. Yeah, yeah. The whole clerical idea brings that whole all out too. It says, you know, when the Bible says we're all kings and priests before God, and then some people think, oh no, there's a certain people that are priests. No, we're all priests before God. Every one of us are called to be priests. He builds us up into this holy priesthood. And it's every single one of us. We all have that standing in the sight of Almighty God. We can all come into his presence. And we can be blessed because of the promise of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter who you are. Now, this doesn't mean, this isn't giving the... ammunition for those who think that they're, gender neutral. We're all gender neutral. That's not what it's talking about. It's not saying, well, you have a baby and you say, well, I don't know what I'm going to call it, if it's a boy or a girl, which they're doing now more and more. The first time that came out, I think it was in Ontario. It was Baby Storm or something like that. The parents were deciding, we don't want to say what the baby is because we might, mess their minds up. So we'll wait until they decide whether they're male or female later on. What's that? Yes, you were telling me that, yeah. But now it's just growing, that's beginning to multiply. But first everybody said, those parents are crazy. But now they're telling you you're crazy if you say something different than this. But so this doesn't teach that, okay, when it says there's neither male nor female in Christ. It teaches that as far as the promises of God, the blessings of God, and the calling of God, that God blesses everyone the same. Because we see the same thing here, neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. It doesn't matter who you are. That's just what it's saying. It certainly is not doing away with gender, and it's not doing away with the roles that gender have either. It's not taking that away at all. But it is telling us we are one in Jesus Christ. So if you're a Christ, then what are you? Yeah, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All of a sudden, he turns around and says, we're Abraham's seed, not just Christ. Why is that? How can that be?
We belong to Christ.
What's that?
We belong to Christ.
Do you know how united you are to Jesus Christ? Do you know how amazing it is that the Father looks on you and sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Do you know how welded you are to him? We're going through Genesis again in Shetty Camp, and we were looking at Jacob's ladder story, and it is amazing when you stop and think about this ladder that's going to heaven, and the angels are ascending and descending upon it. But when you go to the New Testament, and Nathanael comes along, and Jesus said, before you were under the fig, when you were under the fig tree, when Philip called you, I saw you, and he says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. He says, You're believing this? You believe just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You're going to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He's the ladder. He's the connection between heaven and earth. Everything comes through Jesus Christ. No man has ascended up into heaven except he who's come down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. It's all in Jesus Christ. And so the promise of Abraham was Christ. And that Christ is the fulfillment of all things, and that is the only gateway into God's heaven. But when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, he actually tells you in Ephesians chapter 2 that you are seated where? In the heavenlies in Christ. Now, I thought only God could be in two places at one time. How can you be in heaven and on earth at the same time? How's that possible? Because it's Jesus. Because he is that ladder, that gateway. He is the fulfillment of the promises of Almighty God. So in Christ, Christ, of course, is in heaven. Christ is here, and he is my access. I can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need. Where's the throne of grace? In heaven itself. The position that God has placed us when he put us in Christ, the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ, has brought us into such a position with him that if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and you are heirs according to the promise. It's all in Jesus. Every step of your Christianity is Christ. He is your salvation. He is your good works. He has everything to do with the Christianity that you have. And oh, how wonderful that is, because it strips me away from self and self-effort and thinking that it's I and not Christ, that God somehow is up here and he's giving us all these obligations, and if we can only meet those obligations, we'll be okay. When all the while God's saying, here's my promises, rafts of promises, promise after promise after promise. But every one of those promises ends up in Jesus Christ alone. Every single one. And only in Christ can any of those obligations, because he does talk about commands, doesn't he? These are my commands, Jesus says, in the New Testament. But none of those are law, because law says, break this and you're cooked, you're done. But instead, with the commands of Christ, comes the fulfillment of every command in Jesus. So whatever he tells you to do, you look at it, you say, I can't do that. But Jesus can. And where is he? He's in me. And he's more than enough for every circumstance and situation. What a fulfillment we have in Jesus Christ. And as Paul writes to these Galatians who had become confused, and they had looked away from the Spirit of God, which is none other than the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and they had looked away from this, and they were coming under the weak and beggarly elements of the law. And Paul writes to them and says, I'm amazed. He was appalled, wasn't he? That you would be so easily bewitched and moved away from this. And yet, friends, there are times in our Christianity where we begin to drift in our minds away from who Jesus really is for us. May God bring us back, keep us there, and have a great understanding that the promises of God are true in Jesus Christ for you this very day. We can live. We can live victoriously. All that has been promised is ours in Jesus Christ. May the Spirit of God open our eyes to his promises, because when we look at ourselves, we see failure. We're failures without him. But when we look at him, we see victory. And it's yours and it's mine, because we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. Amen. Any comments or questions? Father, we thank you tonight. We bless your name. Your wisdom is far beyond the world's way, Lord. You have the long view, God. And we worship you that you do, Lord. You have a plan. And not all the powers of hell and the powers of darkness can disturb the plan of Almighty God. Lord, you're at work. And we bless your name for it. We thank you for Jesus Christ and him crucified. We thank you, Lord, that the victory has been won at the cross. That, Lord, through faith we have become the children of Abraham, and because of this we are the children of Almighty God. We are all the children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ, and we give you praise for it, Lord. We worship you for it. And that, Lord, that through Abraham, Lord, we have this privilege, but it is because of the promise, and that is Jesus Christ himself. How we give you praise and thanks, Lord. How we thank you for the truth of your word, and that tonight we can stand on the promises of God. The Lord is our helper. We need not fear. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for the food we're about to receive and the privilege of being together, all one, in Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.